the impermanent nature of oneself, that the body which is standing, sitting on there, and the body which is on top, sitting on top of that, is in fact, it has no real difference from the one under there. And sooner or later, the body on top, which is still moving, living, will also become exactly like that. So thus, you know, it gives sort of a direct insight into impermanence, and there are also many other reasons. So an advanced man should use, advanced practitioner should use that kind of seat. So, but this kind of object like human skin or human skull, all this one must obtain it without causing any harm to anybody. That is, it's strongly emphasized, let alone the human beings, but even in Tantra, it forbids even a slightest harm to the life of an insect or an animal. So that is completely forbidden. So therefore, one should never sort of try, in order to get one should never sort of go around killing people or things, or skinning people and things like like this. But that's what the Chinese has criticized the Tibetan lamas. Because they found in some monasteries this kind of object, then they displayed in the museums and wrote a long description under these. The Tibetan lamas were torturing people, and they were sort of taking this skin from the people and so on, things like this. But that is not true. It is even in Tantra itself. It's very clearly pointed out that all these objects, secret objects, must be obtained through causing no harm to anybody. The Chinese have exaggerated a lot, and for example, for fire puja, there is a particular spoon with which you pour the sort of melted butter in the fire, and it's sort of a round spoon, and they have displayed this in the museum and have written under there, this is the lama's way, some tools to torture people, and this particular spoon is to dig out the eyes of the people. But if we really sort of compare it, then it's too big for the eyes anyway. Let alone causing harm to the lives of the people for the sake of practicing Tantra, but even to practice tantra or to teach tantra as a means to cheat other people or to get some gains from the other people. For example, if Rinpoche, now if he teaches the tantra for out of greed, for example, to receive respect from you, or to also to receive certain material gains from you, offerings from you, or things like that, with such kind of selfish motivation or greed and things like this, with such a motivation, if anybody teaches tantra or practices tantra and so on, it's already gone completely astray and is completely contradicted with the actual teaching of the Buddha. As it said in the tantras, that a person who is showing the secret of tantra out of greed for himself, for his own benefit, that person will be punished by all the protectors and the dakas and dakinis, and he will, within 6 months, his life will be destroyed, and he will die with the most sort of dreadful diseases, and in great pain and agony he will leave this world. So like that, it is very strongly emphasized that one should never sort of practice tantra or teach tantra for one's own profit or benefit. Then there's no question that to harm other sentient beings. And then the during the practice, if someone has long hair, then instead of tying it up, one should let it sort of loose and let it sort of fall down loose. And even in the tantra it says, if someone has no hair, then can put an artificial hair on. But if somebody has a particular reason, like has shaved head because taken certain vows, like a monk and like this, then it's not this particular, the practice is not something indispensable. It's something which is absolutely needed for the practice, but it is just a secondary, one of the secondary fulfillment. And then when one practices the Yamantaka, one should sit facing southward, facing the southern direction, if it is possible. If it is not possible due to one's the place and so on, then one should still think that sort of imagine that one is facing to the south, because that is the particular direction of Yamantaka. And then after that, one should clean one's mouth by taking a handful of water or something with which is blessed with the Amrita pill or Dutsi Rilpo, Amrita pill, which is sort of blessed pill that some masters make, that sort of blessed pill by collecting various substances and making it into a pill, and then also consecrating it, and blessing it, consecrating it, and then it's called Amrita pill or blessing pill, which you may obtain, for example, from Dharamsala. And so so one washes one's mouth with that sort of water, or if or else one can use what is called the inner offering, which is used in the sadhana, in a little cup or a bowl or something. You keep a wine or an alcohol or some a little bit of tea, and that is called inner offering. That will be transformed into Amrita and so on in the actual meditation. So from that, we take one drop, and with the finger we take one drop and put it on our tongue and think that your mouth has completely purified. And so that is the that is done before one begins the sadhana.
Oh, that's good. Ta, tuan oh, sumba, jesa, jeta nyongso nambi cuy las, ta tu cipak ke tadi ke cuy nambi, tanda pada.
So all those are the preparatory stages.
Ta sumba jeta nyongso nambi cuy la ni, ta tuan jun oh la jeta xawa ta tuan zang si jeta xawa, tuan sengen de la ya, tu cuy la ya tuan sen, tu cuy ye jian ni, ta wo le chun le dong a ni, tu ke cuy la, cao sa lao ni jie, de yong de, tu cuy ye jian ni nyong le jie guo.
So, and then we begin the actual practice, and the practice, the actual practice itself is in two parts. The part of actual session of the meditation and post the meditation period. And so the session of meditations are usually in four. The first session is early morning time, that is around dawn, about 4 hours around dawn, that is the morning session. So at sunrise, one should have already completed the first session, and then make a break there, and wash and wash oneself and take breakfast and all the necessary things. And so after that short break, then start the second session, and which can go until about 10 or 11 11 o'clock. That is the second session, and then again make the midday break. And then in the afternoon, one begins another session, which should complete just before sunset. And then after, just after this, and then make a break, and after the sunset, while still the sky is sort of reddish, then one enter in the last session, which will complete before midnight. And then make the night break and take a good sleep.
nima shadun che ningun che tene nima la kala mu che ane chen la she che te trub de la paru sha na ga se ta se du kara o shu ke da phang ka tu yin se te nen jo la chue na te se a chue nen jo ya po mo yong se
ge re ne nima
nima shadun che
a
ningun che ane nima la kala mu che ane chen na ge chen gun che
so the wrong time for the practice the sunrise, actual sunrise, midday, sunset, and midnight. These are the time when it's the time of the interference, when the sort of the force of interference around or runs around or runs through. So therefore, that time one should make a break. It can the practice of meditation won't be as successful as it other time.
Ta tambo la song se ta thun jung ngol che ta chai chue de la thun jung gor che ta cha wa ta su thun jung ngol ya tu chue ge thun sing tu chue che tu chue ngol che ta cha ngui ji la che ta cha wa ju de che ta cha wa song re.
So then each of these sessions of the practice are in three parts: the beginning of the session, the middle of the session, the practice, and the concluding practice.
Ta thambo la ni se ji ngol ta se de ta namba sang je ba ge che ji ge de ne pe ngol zo le ya an ne be ngol zo ka yin go pa ji ta le mo chen ro na ngan de de yong wei sen zo sa le mi ji ta na an zo sa le yi ge ta ngwa da ba da de de ngol zo le ka chor da o ti ge che de la ji ngol zo de an thong ta ni la xia wa ni se thong ma an ne be kyu lo zang wa da
So